Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're going to be into part 25 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And if at the end of this tape, if you'd like to award it, it's program number 127. So you can either have it on you can have it on tape or on CD. Now there are four ways that you can order this tape. And I'd like you to tell them, Sister Michelle, how to order, four different ways how to order this tape or to order Bibles or literature.
You can email by going to our website, alamoministries.com. You can write Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or you could call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, so you know how to order the Bibles if you need one, if you can't afford one. If you can't afford it, go ahead and buy one someplace, or because there are so many people that can't afford it that we need to give it to, but if you're having a hard time, please ask for it and we'll give it to you. Okay, we're not going to check your bank account or whatever, all right? Now, right now, let's all go up to the throne. We have some letters here and emails. But now let's go to the throne to ask the Lord to anoint outwardly this service. Father, we are in, those of us that are born again of the Spirit are resting. Resting in resurrection. We rest assured that everything that you died for us, and we rest assured that you resurrected from the dead, and we rest in the fact that we have you living in us with the Father by the Spirit, and therefore we rest in the fact that we are also resurrected from the old dead life that we lived before, and we're rooted into the earth. In other words, you are a representative of the earth, because all things that we need in this world come from you, which is a figure, symbol, a type, or a metaphor of you. The earth is a metaphor of you, because all living things come out of there. You also are the air, so you're not just the earth, you're everything. You're the kingdom of heaven. You created the angels. You created us. And we need to rest assured when we hear your words that they are spirit and that they are life. And we want everyone, you want everyone in the world to know that the words that you speak when you were here on earth and the words that you're speaking through your servants today by the Spirit, you want people to rest assured that these words are true, and you want them to know, rest assured, or Sabbath in you, that when they read the Word of God, that they're really receiving you, the resurrected Christ, into their spirits, which causes them to be saved and be healed and to be prosperous, to be resurrected from their dead life, to be resting and Sabbathing every day. What a horrible thing it would be is if there was only one Sabbath day. We have to Sabbath every day. We have to realize that. We have to be, we know by reading your word, we can rest or Sabbath in the fact that you were resurrected and that you ascended into the kingdom of heaven, and that you're sitting there right now hearing every word that I say. And Lord, the words I say, you promise to answer our prayers, and I ask that you anoint every word, that these words are not mine, but they come directly from you, that the souls in the world can be so sure that it's you doing the talking, and that the church will know it as well, so that the souls that are lost will become saved, resurrected from their dead lives, resurrected into the wineskin, resurrected into the bride chamber to be with you and for you to be with them, Lord, so that they can enter the kingdom of heaven and become part of the church. In this manner, the church is multiplied, is grown. Your bride is more full, and the church, the bride, is strengthened. Lord, we ask that these things you do give everyone assurance and more faith, because we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now where's the first letter from?
From Ashanti, Ghana, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor, I am sending you greetings from all the way in Ghana. I am very excited to tell you that I have at last accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior.
Praise the Lord. Amen. What else?
And that he came and died on the cross after reading through your newsletters, Dry Bones and Earthquake. Formerly, I was in the world not knowing God. Neither did I know about his son, the Messiah. But after reading through your newsletters, I now know that I was lost, but now I've been found. I was in the dark, but the Lord has brought me into the light. I am therefore a born-again Christian and a son of the living God. As of now, I have no Bible, so if possible, send me one, and also more of your booklets that can help me to know God well. I would appreciate it. I now attend church at Pentecostal Church in Bekwai. May the Lord God richly bless you for the good works you've been doing. Yours faithfully, Awudu from Ashanti, Ghana.
Praise the Lord. Definitely, I assume that the Bible is well on its way with more literature. Amen.
Amen.
And the Messiah book. Make sure he gets it. And what else?
The next letter is from Farmington Hills, Michigan. The broadcast is a tremendous blessing to me, and when I heard you today, you mentioned email, so I checked Google for a website and was blessed to find it. This is the first time this year, ever in all my years of being saved, I've ever heard of you, and I know your ministry is powerful. It has blessed me so much. I am so glad to hear your ministry, and I plan on listening online because there is one particular message that I am looking for, and now I don't remember what day I heard it. Also, please put my name on the mail list. I would love to receive your newsletters. God willing, I will send an offering soon, but I know you send things without receiving funds. Thank you, Sister Kathy from Farmington Hills, Michigan.
Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, then what? That's why it's important for you to remember these the number of these programs. This is 127, and we'll tell you again how to receive this program and every program. Okay, then where's the next letter from?
From Zambia, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Tony, I believe my letter has found you blessed. Pastor, this is my third time of writing to you. At first, you sent me newsletters, a book, and a Bible. Thank you so much, Pastor. To be honest, after reading the newsletters and the book, The Messiah According to Bible Prophecy, my life has never been the same. Even people around me, to whom I have shared this knowledge, are also having a great testimony. Pastor, there is something I love so much about your literature. They always carry the message of salvation. Pastor, I am a minister of the gospel, and I conduct Bible studies, and I am also a leader of an interdenominational meeting in an area where I live. So I often stand before people, and that makes it easier for me to distribute your literature. So what happened was that at first, when you sent me the materials, and when some people saw the Bible, they troubled me a lot that I should give them the Bible. In the meetings that we conduct and hold, there are so many people. When we meet, they always ask me to help them with Bibles, but I don't have any.
Well, we do. Amen. And we'll send them to you. Okay, then what?
The problem we mainly face in our meetings of Bible studies is that some people do not have Bibles, so that even if they take down scriptures to go and study at home, they find it difficult because they lack Bibles. Pastor, I reached an extent whereby I even gave away the beautiful King James Version Bible you sent me as a gift. This is why I am requesting for 40 Bibles. If that's too much, Pastor Lamo, make it 3 or 4 Bibles.
No, send them the 40 immediately. Send them 4 dozen. That'd be 48 Bibles, amen?
Yes, sir.
All right, then, because I expect this person to be winning more souls, amen?
Amen.
And tell them, Bob, brother, to read the Bibles together. That way, you know, a group of maybe 5 to 10, 15 people can be reading the Bible at the same time. So That way it'll stretch them out a lot further. The Lord will send in funds, you know, where one day we'll be able to send out thousands of them to people like yourself. All right, then to people that need them. All right, what else?
We will be.
We are sending out thousands of Bibles, but not mm-hmm. to just. Some people say they have like hundreds of people that they need Bibles and literature, and we can send the literature, and we're able to send a few of them, a few dozen Bibles, but. You know, if people start sending in their tithes and offerings, we'll be able to send out more Bibles and more literature. So, you know, if some of you people listening have money, don't forget that the Lord multiplies whatever you tithe 100 times. And even if you don't have that much tithe, then he'll multiply for you. All right, 100 times. Then what?
We will be sharing the Bibles, and we will be grateful. Please, Pastor Tony Lamo, do help us. Thank you, and God bless you. Yours in Christ, William from Zambia, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Is that all the letters?
Yes.
All right. That's all the letters. We have many more letters, but we can only do around 3 or 4 a day. All right, so now part 25 of how to have God's life living in you. We could do part 2,000,025 or 2 billion, because the Bible is deep and you never stop learning. If you read the Bible, we receive a little bit daily, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. The main thing is to read your Bible every day and receive from it. Not the new modern Bibles, because they are government Bibles telling you that, you know, once saved, you'll always be saved. You will always be saved if you continue on in the Lord. But if you fall away from the Lord, you start sinning again, there's no such scriptures like that in the Bible at all. And, okay, so let's go.
If Christ is living in us, then he's healing all the withered members in the church.
Mm-hmm. You know how he is healing every withered member in the church if he lives in us? Because we will go to people that are falling away. We will go to people that, in one way or another, are being discouraged. And we will encourage them in the Lord, in the Word of God, to show them that we've been made kings and priests. And many of us have been called and chosen to take large positions in the body of Christ. And what a disappointment a person would be to the Lord for not continuing on, and that they account that the things of the Lord are not worth continuing on. This is why so many people are not going to be able to enter the kingdom of God. And so, but we need to encourage them. If you just read the Bible on a daily basis, then all the things that God has belong to you, and you don't need to worry about tomorrow. The Bible, Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. I mean, there's sufficient enough evil for today. Just get into the Bible and study until you feel the infilling of the powerful resurrected Spirit of the Lord take place in you again, and so that you'll be able to hang on for another day. Just live it one day at a time. And, you know, it doesn't matter. You could read the whole Bible in one day if you could read fast enough, but all you need is enough to stand today. Amen?
Amen.
It isn't how much you read, it's if you are prayerfully reading the Bible and go to the part of the Bible that the Lord leads you to, and that's what will give you the spiritual power, energy and power to last another day. We need that spiritual food in order to continue on one day at a time. Don't try to do the whole thing in one day. This is a journey. You know, it's during the day, and then we go to sleep at night, and we wake up and we continue the journey. And the fuel that we receive, the food of the Lord and the water of the Lord and the encouragement from the Lord comes and gives us that uplift in the spirit on a daily basis, so that we're able to continue one day at a time. If you don't do that, temptation will overtake you, because the flesh is weak, but the spirit is powerful. So make sure that you keep the spirit running through you on a daily basis, or you will fall. And if you fall, then you will not enter the kingdom of God. Now stay in there. Hang in there. And if by ignorance you've fallen, get back in. Don't say, oh, I'm already gone, and it's over with, and that, no, let me encourage you, just keep it up, because everyone at one time or another has stumbled, but then comes the day star rises in your heart to where you're going to make sure that you study every day and receive the Spirit of the Lord on a daily basis so that you can continue on without being miserable, without being weak. But you can be spiritually strong every day. Everyone can if you pray to find out where it is that the Lord wants you to read from. And if he doesn't, if you don't hear his voice, well then a good way to get back in the Spirit is to start reading from the book of Proverbs or Psalms. Or start reading, just pray to where to read. And you'll be inspired. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what else?
So Christ is always against religion.
Oh, the Lord is absolutely 100% against religion. It was always the religious leaders that were coming to him for some kind of a sign. Oh, good master, show us the sign. Well, you know, I've had signs and wonders and all sorts of things, but it's so wicked. I never sought for those signs or wonders or revelations from the Lord. I didn't have any desire to even be a Christian, and let alone a pastor or a preacher or a teacher. But I didn't want a sign, but the Lord gave me signs and wonders and miracles. And through me, he has performed miracles, many of them. But I don't count on that at all. I count on the power of the Lord's resurrection living in me. Because there were a lot of people in the New Testament that saw Christ perform all kinds of miracles. There were like throngs of them that would be around him at all times. There'd be like thousands of them. And there was 5,000 men that he fed. Plus, on top of the men, there was like women and children as well. And yet only 120 people showed up in the upper room that believed the promise of the receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There were 500 people that saw this miraculous resurrection. 500 people saw him ascend up into the kingdom of heaven. 500 brothers that saw that. And this was absolutely miraculous. No one has ever seen something like that before, that a dead person arose and then he was walking around them for 40 days. And then they see this miracle of him ascending up into heaven in a cloud. And why do you gaze up here? Why are you looking at miracles? Why are you doing that? And because it should be enough for you that this Lord was dead and he resurrected from the dead, and now he's been being taken up into the kingdom of heaven, and he left some instructions for every one of you to be at the upper room so that you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But out of the 500 and the thousands and thousands of people, I doubt if one out of 10,000 showed up. I doubt if one out of 50,000 showed up to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And even today, the churches know the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord said it's not just for you, it's for the people in the future, the Gentiles even, can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so with all these signs and wonders, he says, all I'm going to do is show you the sign of Jonah, a man who spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a whale. And this was a type of the Lord's resurrection. He was the Lord explained it. He said, this is symbolic of my resurrection from the dead. I will be 3 days and 3 nights in the center of the earth, and I will arise again, just as Jonah did. He said, so I'm a greater than Jonah because I was buried deeper than Jonah was. Jonah was just in the belly of a fish, but I was clear into the center of the earth. And so Jonah is a symbol, a figure, a type, a metaphor of Christ's resurrection. And Christ is greater than Jonah. Amen?
Amen.
The miracle that was shown Jonah was shown to Jonah. It wasn't a religious miracle. It wasn't a religious miracle at all. It was a miracle given to Jonah, and it's written in the Word of God so all of us can know it. But that was actually the resurrection of Christ, a symbol of it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so signs and wonders are nice to have, everybody. It's a natural inclination for everyone to want to see a miracle or a sign or a wonder. But an evil generation, the Lord says, seeketh after a sign. So we can rest assured that in the scriptures where Jesus is talking about the resurrection of Jonah from the belly of the whale, and he talks about his resurrection as well, we can rest assured that it happened. Amen?
Amen.
So we can rest assured that we can believe that Jesus is God. Because if he isn't God, then what more could God do than what Jesus did? The Bible says that he created the heavens. Jesus, the Word of God, created the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof. And God, the content of God, is Jesus. And why do I say that? Because Jesus said, I am the life. And so the content or the actual filling of God, the inside of God, is Christ, life. There's nothing in him but life. Jesus said, well, the Word of God says, if the he that hath Christ has life. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
So if you have Christ, you have life. If you don't have Christ, you don't have life. I'm talking about life everlasting. Life everlasting. Hand me that Bible over there, will you please? Keep it at the same page, because I want to have Sharon read something here if I still have it on the same page. Let's see. What does it say here? I've got such bad eyes.
Over here? Yeah. Who should not receive a manifold?
Okay. Read this from here, start here, and then finish there.
Okay. And he said unto them...
Now, so many people, you know, surrender God. Tell them where this is in their Bibles.
Luke chapter 18, verse 29.
Or just read it for yourself. Okay? But there's so many people say, oh, I just love Mama. And Mama, she doesn't want to receive the gospel. And Daddy doesn't want to receive the gospel. And so I just have to stay with them. Or my children won't serve the Lord. Or my sister, brother, son, daughter, my mother, father, my wife. The Lord here is talking about that none of these people that don't want to, any of these people that don't want to serve the Lord, they're not worth sending your soul to hell. Because if you go with them, you're not going to receive life everlasting. So go ahead and read it now.
And he said unto them, verily I say unto you.
This is Jesus talking. Verily, and surely, I'm talking to you. Okay, then what?
There is no man that hath left house or parents.
If you leave a big house, a mansion, billions of dollars, trillions of dollars, you leave a mansion or all your money, then what?
Or parents.
Or if you leave your parents, if your parents say, I'm not going to serve the Lord, well, then you are, the Lord's saying that you better leave your parents then, because they're not of the same caliber as you. Then what?
Or brethren.
Or brothers, sisters, whatever. Then what?
Or wife.
Or wife. Leave your wife if she doesn't want to serve the Lord. Leave her. Because if you don't, you're not going to receive immortality, life eternal. Then what?
Or children.
Or children. You mean to say, leave my kids? Does the Lord want you to leave your children, Tony? You know, like if I had a wife that says something like that to me, I'd say, if they don't want to serve the Lord, yes, he does. Look, if they don't want to serve the Lord, that's up to them. That's their decision. If they don't want to come with me and serve the Lord, if my wife doesn't want to, that's her decision. But I have to go with the Lord. The Lord says, come and follow me. Well, what about my parents? I already took off from them, and I took off from anyone that does not want to serve the Lord. The Lord is the most important. God is the most important. Anyone that could put mother, father, sister, brother, son, or daughter, or anyone, wife, before God, you have to be crazy. All right? So then go ahead and read it real fast now from where you started.
Okay. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake who shall not receive manifold more in this
present. So if you left trillions of dollars, you're going to receive manifold more. You know, because if you tithed in billions or trillions of dollars, whatever you had, or whatever you got, and give it unto, like it says in the book of Acts, you're going to receive manifold more. Now, there's people that gave all that they had, and they found out that they had cancer and they were close to death. And when they did that, the Lord gave them something that they could have never bought. He healed them. Amen? Because he knew they had faith. Once you see a person that will let loose of their purse strings and open up their greedy fists and give it unto the Lord, well, you're going to see miracles. He says you're going to receive manifold more. Now, if you had trillions of dollars and you gave that in, dollars, this is not anything to do with money. It's just whatever is your God is holding you back. And if money is your God, then leave it. And the Lord says he'll give you a manifold, many times more in this life and in the world to come, which is life. And on top of that, you get life everlasting in the kingdom of heaven. So now read it again from the top.
And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting.
That's a wonderful promise. And that is coming from God himself. You're saying, well, God, is that God? Yes, the Bible says that the Word, which is God, came into this world in a man, in the flesh. Now, a Jewish rabbi will say, you know, the thing that we've always been against is the Lord is against anybody worshiping a man. But God made sure that you knew which man to worship. These people that are worshiping Buddha or Muhammad, or these are men. But God left 333 prophecies, at least in the Old Testament, showing you the exact day and hour that the Messiah would be born, the one to worship, and the exact time that he would die, and that he would resurrect from the dead on the third day, and that he would ascend back up into heaven to become the life-giving spirit, a quickening spirit, one that gives life to the rest of humanity so that they're able to make it into heaven on a daily basis. I saw this man in a vision. I know that he's not just a man. He was God-man. God himself had to come into this world the Lord appeared. Now, you know that God has no image at all of himself without Christ. Without Christ, God doesn't have an image, because Christ is the image of God and the likeness, exact, express image and likeness of the Lord, of the Lord God. So God's image is Christ. And Abraham saw him as a man. I saw him as a man. But later, all the people that were around and about him saw him as a little baby, because he was begotten by the Holy Spirit. So he had to go through the entire realm of life as a human life. And then not sin, because the power was in him, and then do all these miracles that people saw. I healed everybody in town, one town after the other, through Galilee and through other Nazareth, everywhere, through Judea. And these people were, some of them were even raised from the dead. The one that is mentioned is Lazarus. But there are so many miracles that the Lord did, the Bible says that there wouldn't be enough space in the world to contain the books of all the things that he did while he was here on the earth. So the thing is that he's God. And he now, in the heavens, is... the Bible says that he created everything in heaven and in earth, that Jesus did. Everything was made by him and for him. And so a lot of people don't want to be for him. And he says, all those that are with me, all those that are not with me are against me. And if you're against me, I'm against you. And so, you know, a lot of people are coming and attempting to convince you that Jesus is God and that you must have him in you. It isn't a thing that you should have to see miracles if you're so wicked that you don't believe the word of God. What you need to do is accept him so that you can feel the power of his resurrection. And that's what the Apostle Paul stated when he was near the time that he was going to be up in heaven. He says that to be present with the Lord is better. And he said, so all he wanted, he says, he performed many miracles in his own time, Paul did, but he says all that he really wanted was to know the power of his resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
And so that, if that's all Paul wanted, and that's what the bottom line of everything is, for us to be resurrected into the body of Christ, well then don't worry about signs and wonders. Our sign, the sign that the entire world has today, is the resurrection of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Because Jesus showed us through the scriptures regarding Jonah that that was sign enough. And he says, now I'm going to raise from the dead, and that will be a sign for everybody in all generations to come, the power of my resurrection. So he already showed us. They says, one said that, well, we would believe if somebody came, was dead, and then they came back to life. Well, Jesus did that, okay? So even if you don't believe now, well, then you wouldn't believe if anyone was raised from the dead, because there were many eyewitnesses. Amen?
Amen.
And so the main thing is to believe that so that you can receive the power of his resurrection. And that's the big sign for today. And if you do, and you accept him into your heart, well, then the power of the resurrection belongs to you as well. Because Christ, the resurrected one, the one that is life, will pour his life. God will pour his life into you, Christ with his Father by the Spirit, and you'll be resurrected and on your way to heaven, providing that you read the scriptures and get the new resurrected life in you on a daily basis so that you can be sure that you'll make it in. All right, so let's continue on here. And then you'll have in heaven life everlasting. Amen?
Amen.
You'll always be young, you'll always be beautiful or handsome, and you'll always never have to worry about death, and you'll never have to leave your loved ones that were there, that made it there before you. You'll be there. And if you stay strong, your loved ones eventually will be saved as well. But you must be strong, and we cannot be strong unless the power of Christ's resurrection is living in us. We must also be resurrected from our dead life, our dead works, and accept what the Lord has for us in his word. And everything that he has for us is wonderful. Manifold. Everything that we leave, we get manifold. You know, like if my kids left me, I have millions of children that receive gospel from me. And they say that I'm their spiritual dad. And even the adults, they say, we want you to be our spiritual father because you have begotten us by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God. And so I have so many, you know, I think I was born a daddy. You know, like sometimes my dad was a gypsy, you know. He was Romanian Jew. And I guess that means that he was, he just wandered a lot. He was one of the very talented men, but he would be gone part of the time, and I'd have to be earning the living for the family, for my mother and two brothers. And I'd be on the streets in the bitter cold up around Montana, and in Montana, around Helena, Montana, delivering the Independent Record and the Montana Standard, which was the Butte, a Montana paper, and then also the Spokesman Review on Sundays. And I had to, I did every kind of odd jobs, mowing lawns, shoveling snow, all kinds of things like that. And my brothers actually started thinking I was their daddy. So I was born a daddy, all right? And so that's all right with me. But, you know, I, at one time or another in my life, would have liked to have had a daddy of my own. But I finally found that my daddy, the Lord, amen?
Amen.
And he's all of our daddy, our real dad, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, so let's continue on here.
This is only the first Sabbath.
The first rest of resting assured, amen?
Amen.
And what was that?
That Christ is always against religion.
Yeah, we can rest assured that, you know, religion really makes us angry. Because it was the religious people that came to Jesus and said, show us the sign. But the Lord will not perform a miracle for religious people, okay? He didn't come here to tap dance or to pull rabbits out of hats and things like that. The miracle he showed us was that he resurrected, amen, and ascended into heaven, all right? I don't want to watch any rabbits be pulled out of hats or handkerchiefs, you know, a dozen handkerchiefs come out of his nose or something like that. I want the real thing, the real deal. I want God's resurrection, Christ's resurrection, amen, living in me. Okay, then what?
When we are in Christ, we know that we can rest assured, or Sabbath, that he healed us.
Mm-hmm. By his stripes we're healed. Now, if you don't receive that, that's up to you. I can hold up $1,000 bill if they had them anymore, and if I had $1,000, and if you don't come and get it, if I say, here it is, and you don't come and get it, well, then that's your problem. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord has already healed you, and if you don't come and get it, that's your problem. Don't blame God for what the devil put in your mind, the doubt. The Lord said, by faith, you're saved and healed, and by doubt, you're damned. So, you know, that's your fault if you want to be damned. You have to be bold to come and take what the Lord says that he's already provided for you. All right, then what?
We can rest assured, or Sabbath, that he has saved us.
Yeah, those of us that are saved, but not the people in the world that haven't received him yet. Then what?
We can rest assured that he is here to fight for us.
Yeah, we can Sabbath in that. I mean, I see a bunch of false witnesses and everything, clouds of them around me. All over the place, the media attacking our church all the time, bringing all kinds of accusations that I have no truth to them whatsoever. But I believe the Lord is, I pray that they'll be saved. And then my prayer is always, Lord, save their souls so they can get on the air. Let them make them repent and tell all the lies they've been telling about us. That would be more gratifying to me than anything, to know that they're saved. Because unsaved people, they can lie, but we can't. All right? Because we know if we lie, we go to hell. Liars are going to hell. No liar, no kind of liar, Christian liar or unsaved, no Christian liar is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. So, realize that just people are so free to lie. And they're all hypocrites because the thing they're saying about us are the things they do. But they never, like the Catholic priests, they go against everybody and they say, like Michael Jackson and other people, they say, man, he is the most wicked person on the earth. And they just ballyhoo him in the media But what happened to all those Catholic priests? Where are they? What happened? What happened? They got spirited off to the Vatican, and they're hiding down there someplace in the catacombs. They don't want their priests to be under the severe law that they made up. They don't want them to be saved. They won't let them read the Bibles. Okay? But, let's have some fairness here. They run the government. This church front in Rome, it's a front of a church. Behind the walls is a sewer of corruption. And they run the government. And that's why the government is a sewer of corruption. And you've got to know that it's a satanic government. Otherwise, why would the government be wanting to give our seaports away? Why would they be creating wars that cost hundreds of billions of dollars of our tax money? Why? Why do they want to? Because it's the devil. You can't. There's no rationale with the devil. How are you going to reason with the devil? The devil doesn't have any reason whatsoever. For God's sake, he even rejected God after he saw all the miracles that he did and that he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. That should be a miracle enough for anybody. Even the devil, you think, would repent, because he knows he can't repent because he's blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And therefore, he knows that there's no forgiveness for that on this earth or in the world to come, and that the kingdom of heaven, he's going to be judged. He's already judged. He's been condemned. And the whole world is condemned. I'm not here to condemn you. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. The world was already condemned because everyone was a sinner. What he did is he came here to save sinners. Now, all these people that are righteous people, like the religious people, they think they're righteous, but yet, and they come on really godly. They look godly. They dress godly, we would think is godly, except for that hat the Pope wears. I just can't picture Christ wearing one of those. Amen? Or all those gowns and everything. The reason he likes them, I think, is because he's a homosexual. All of them are. That's why it's so easy for them to not be married, but to molest little choir boys. I mean, this is like statutory rape and homosexuality, and it's such a satanic thing. But then again, the Bible states that the Satan's seat, where his church front would be in the city of the seven mountains, that's Rome, and that his tentacles, the branches of him, would sweep out throughout the entire earth and grip the earth for a while, for a season, but that there would be people like myself that would pull the lid off of them so that people can look in there and see the worms and the bugs and the disease and the bacteria and the vermin and the putrefying sores and the pus. And it's a sewer of corruption in that place. And people need to repent from it. Come out of there, my people. Now, some of you might believe the Lord, and if you do, get out of there. Get out of there. The Lord says, you better listen to God. Amen?
Amen.
Because even though you have your peers there, you want to go to hell for your peers? The Lord says, leave everything, everybody, and come with me and have life more abundantly here and life everlasting in heaven. You're not going to score with anything by staying there. All it is the sewer. And you need to, everything they do is sewer. They have nothing in them but sewer. They kill, they murder, and they corrupt. And that's what you see. And then what?
You're resting for sure that you're healed, that you're saved.
Well, in other words, resting for sure means that you're Sabbath. You're always in the Sabbath. You're going to believe that you're saved, you're resurrected if you're saved. And what?
That you're filled with the Holy Spirit.
That you're filled with the Spirit, and that you're on your way to heaven, and that you've got the bridegroom, and that you're living in the bride chamber, and that you are an invited guest to the kingdom of God. Let me encourage you. And the Lord says that you're a king and a priest and a new creature, that every sin that you committed in your life, if you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, every former sin is gone. It's washed away in the blood. You can Sabbath in that. I mean, isn't that a restful thing? And to know that the Lord is with you no matter, you know, if you die, he says, so the psalmist David says, even when I die, I mean, if my soul goes up to heaven, you're there. If my soul goes down into hell, if I make my bed, if I live the way kind of life that would cause me to make my bed in hell, you're there. God is everywhere. He sees everything that we're doing. He knows everything we do. He knows the very thoughts and intents of our minds. So you can't get away from him. H.B. Barnum, a friend of mine, says you can't run in the house. Amen?
Amen.
Or are you going to hide under the bed from God? He's there. Amen?
Amen.
God is everywhere. So, I mean, do what he says. Believe. Rest assured that he's there. He's everywhere. And you don't have to scream and yell to the Lord. You can if you want to. He doesn't mind. He likes it. You know, he loves people that raise their hands and praise and thank the Lord. But he hears every breath that you're breathing, and he knows about it. And your breaths are numbered. That's how intelligent he is, how incredibly smart he is. Okay, then what?
We can rest assured that the kingdom of heaven is yours. And that everything you ask for, the happiness is yours.
Whatever you ask for, as long as it's scriptural, you're not going to pray for, you know, narcotics, drugs, or any evil thing. But whatever you ask in the Lord will be yours if you really believe. If you believe that you have it, you can say to yonder mountain, be cast into the sea, or the sycamore tree, and it'll be take root right into the bottom of the ocean. If you even have the grain of faith, the grain of a mustard seed, and that's the smallest seed in the world, then what?
Enjoying everything is yours.
Mm-hmm. I rest assured about that. I rest assured. All right, then what?
Following this, there is another Sabbath in Matthew chapter 12.
Another rest, okay? You can rest assured, just Sabbath on everything the Lord says. Leave your mother, father, sister, brother, children, everybody that should serve him. Yes, if they don't want to. Amen?
Amen.
You people leave your cardinals, the Pope. Yeah, they're nothing, okay? They're on their way to hell. Prancing around there with all these fancy red clothes on and this big hat and all the other stuff that they have, the Pope Mobile and all this garbage. Bodyguards by the thousands. Okay. And then what else? There's nothing. Leave them. Get out of there if you want to go to heaven. Then what else? Because they're not of the Lord. They're the actual church front of the Antichrist church, or church front, and is the Antichrist government and the Antichrist media. All of them are against Christ. Just you don't have to be a genius to know that. And you must be for Christ in order to receive him. And you must show the Lord that you leave everything for him so that you can have life more abundantly here on earth, way more than what you had, manifold more than whatever you had before, and in heaven, in the world to come, life everlasting. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
There is another Sabbath in Matthew chapter 12 after the first Sabbath is over. And now our Lord and Savior Jesus went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day where there was a man with a withered hand.
In other words, you can be sure that you can pray for people on the Sabbath day that they'd be healed, and you can tell them that they are healed already. All right? All they have to do is receive it. They don't know that there's oranges in the refrigerator unless I preach it to them. Hey, you want some oranges? There's some in the refrigerator. Go get them. Okay? But the Lord is saying, there's healing. All you got to do is receive it now. It's already been done. By my stripes, the beating that I took at Calvary, you're healed. Okay, now come on and get it. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. Believe it. If you believe, you are healed. You're saved and healed. If you doubt, well, then go. You're going to just wither away and go. Now, here's Jesus. He's going into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. and he's going to heal this withered hand, okay, of a brother. Then what?
So the religious people then decided that they wanted to trouble the Lord Jesus, but he troubled them again. They asked him, quote, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" Verse 10. Here was a case of a man with a withered hand. He's not a whole person, but he is a member of the body. Now Christ is the whole land, but this man is just a member of Christ's body. And this is very meaningful.
He's just a person that needs to receive all the abundant life that the Lord has given us here on this land. Amen?
Amen.
Whatever you want to eat, come on, eat it, okay, all right? I got healing here for you. Come on, get it. Amen?
Amen.
I got salvation. Come on and get saved. Why do you want to die? Why do you want to not have all these blessings? Okay? Why do you want to believe religion instead of the Lord Jesus Christ, or instead of salvation, resurrection from the dead? These are things that your religion will never talk about. Then what else?
It's very purposeful to know this. The first Sabbath, the Lord Jesus took care of himself as the head of the body. In the second rest or Sabbath, the Lord wanted to take care of his members. How many people in the church love to take care of the members, those that are withering and dying in the church?
Who wants to encourage people in the church? There's so many people that I see that want to discourage people in the church. And people get discouraged because... like if a person like myself that is serving the Lord, then I see somebody not serving the Lord, and then I encourage them to serve the Lord, and I see them not being encouraged, not receiving what the Lord says, and then they want me to be nice to them or to just give them the same that I would anybody that really receives the gospel. They're not a help, but they're a hindrance. They don't encourage people, but they discourage people. And they want the same blessing that everybody else in the church that is serving the Lord gets. And that just is not... of course, the Lord loves you and wants to see you turned on. Amen? He wants to see you resurrected. But if you won't, if you just always have a scowl on your face... Nobody wants to be around people that have a scowl on their face all the time. Amen?
Amen.
You want to be around a happy face. Amen? Somebody that you know is happy, and they're happy because they're saved. And they know that they have all the blessings of the Lord. All the rewards are theirs, all right? And they receive. Those that don't receive, you know, away with thee. It's like the Lord let them walk away. And then they sit in a cave someplace and scowl. See, Jesus didn't do anything for me. Well, you have to come unto the Lord. You have to receive Him. Amen?
Amen.
You have to receive Him before He's going to receive you. All right? That's just the way common sense is. That's the way our Lord is. Okay, then what? And you can rest assured that what I'm saying is the truth. You can Sabbath in that. All right, then what?
How many of the members of the body are like the Lord Jesus Christ, to where they want to let Christ use them so they can enjoy Christ in helping new Christians and older Christians that they see withering up and dying?
Yeah, how many people in the church did you see that want to encourage people instead of discourage them? Oh, my time is up again. Well, all right. Well, if I didn't have an appointment here in a few minutes, I'd even do another tape here. But I see that our time is up, and I promise you that we'd let you know how to four different ways on how to order this program if you'd like to have it. You can get it. Let us know whether you want it on CD or tape. And so, Sharon, will you tell them the four different ways that they can order this program, please?
Visit us at alamoministries.com. You can write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax area code 479-782-7406.
All right, now, you know, the Lord, all that is in Him is life, and that's what He wants to do, is give you life, resurrected life everlasting, and that can be yours without hesitate, if you'll just not hesitate and believe the Lord. Now remember, by faith you're saved, and by faith you're healed. Faith in Christ, not yourself. We have no faith in ourselves whatsoever, but we do have faith in the Lord, and that's what causes us. You see, all these supposed to be self-help books, they just tell you to have faith in yourself. But you yourself know, if you're smart, that there's nothing in you that guarantees that you're going to be successful. But Christ guarantees you that you're going to be successful. So you can throw all the self-help books away except the Bible. And the Bible says that we have no self, we need to have Christ. And that's for sure. And so take your ego, throw it out the window, and receive Him now by saying this prayer. Now say, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, because your word says so. And I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins, former sins, because your word said He did. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the Holy Spirit, the powerful resurrected life, the Holy Spirit entered Him. I was in Him and pulled Him right out of hell. He went to hell for us, and He died for us and pulled Him right up out of the grave, out of the tomb. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that You shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because Your word says so. Your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Your word says that You won't turn anyone away that come to You and ask for salvation, this powerful resurrection. Therefore, I know You've heard me, and I know You've answered me, and I know I'm saved, and I thank You, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and thank and praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Isn't that easy? It's, so many people are not able to receive salvation because they think it's more complicated than this. The simplicity of the gospel has always astounded people. They stumble over the simplicity of the gospel. But realize this, that if little children can receive the Lord, so can you. It's so simple that God made it so simple that even children can receive the Lord. So listen until tomorrow, which will be part 26 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.